As we prepare to meditate on God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the living and active word of God and what it does in our lives, the transformation and the power that it brings with it. I pray that you would open my lips by the power of your Holy Spirit to speak your word to your people and open our hearts to receive and reflect on your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have a couple of important documents down here on the floor at my feet. One of them is found in this folder here, and it is the service manual for my car, my Honda Odyssey. Now, that is pretty important, and you don't want to lose that or misplace it or anything. The other one is kind of much more interesting. In this box, from a time when fundraising packs of M&Ms were only $3, I have a collection of letters. And these letters are the love letters that the woman who is now my wife wrote to me when we were courting. She was living in Sydney, I was living in Melbourne. There was no internet, no email back then. So the written letter was it, and, you know, phone calls occasionally, but they were expensive. Now, I pulled these out again last night, or one of them anyway. It's gonna be a fairly straightforward analogy. Word of God, instruction manual, or love letter. But there might be more to it than you think. Now, this one is important, right? If you want your car to run well, if you don't want it to go clonk, clank, clunk, or any of those other bad noises, you need to read and understand what is in here. But I don't find myself very often going to my Honda manual and going, oh, just want to sit down and read my Honda manual. No, I'm not that kind of person. Some people might be into that, and that's okay. If you're into reading car manuals, that's fine. Nick might be in that situation. However, love letters. Now, that's a different situation altogether. When I used to receive one of these every week, it was run to the mailbox, walk back, rip it open, read it, and read it again. And then go back one more time just to look for those special words from the person who loved me. Those words would, you know, maybe one or two sentences from my love letters would go round and round in my head for the whole week. And that was a really important touchstone in my life. Sometimes the love letter, I'm not going to read them out to you, sometimes they contain mundane stuff. You know, this one says, I locked myself out and I had to spend $50 to get a locksmith to come and we weren't working very much. We weren't earning very much back then, so that was pretty bad. It's just everyday stuff, but it also contains some really important words. However, the most important thing about the love letter is the person that it comes from. Y.V. Hoskin, 46 Ballantrae Drive, St. Andrews. And when we think of the Word of God, we can think of it as an instruction manual, and there's important things about that. We can think of it as a love letter, and that's important too. But the most important thing about the Word of God is the person to whom it points. So today in our sermon, I'm going to look at those three aspects of the Word of God: the person, the instruction manual, and the love letter. And all of them are important. First of all, the person, the incarnate word. There's some really important words in the Bible about the word of God, and it's not exactly what you might think at first glance. Jesus is the living incarnate word of God. Primarily, when we think as Christians of Word of God, we're not thinking of a book. We're not thinking of words on paper. The primary meaning of the Word of God is that Jesus is the Word incarnate. He is God come to us, come to earth, to be the living Word. Let me read a couple of those verses for you. And this helps us to reframe our understanding of what the Bible is about in terms of the person who is behind it. John chapter 1, verse 1 says this: In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Jesus is the Word of God, the incarnate Word who existed with God when God created everything. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says something very similar. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, God has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. The primary meaning of the Word of God is Jesus, the incarnate Word, who comes to us and through whom God speaks to us. Matthew 17, verse 5 says something similar from a slightly different angle. This is during the Transfiguration. So Jesus is on the mountain and he's appeared in glory. And then a voice speaks from the cloud. And this is verse 5 of chapter 17. Even as Peter spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. Listen to him." Believe it or not, this is the only time in the New Testament where God speaks directly to people. In the Old Testament, we have that happening on the mountain of Sinai as God gives the Ten Commandments to the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. In the New Testament, God's words are, "This is my Son whom I love, listen to him." The most important thing about the Bible, and the prime reason, not the only reason, but the prime reason we read the written Word of God, is because in these pages and in these words, we encounter the incarnate Word of God, Jesus himself. That's the most important reason to connect with the written Word of God, is to know the person, to know Jesus, and to be able to live with him and walk with him. So I want to look a little bit now at the written Word of God, what we call the Bible or the Scriptures, and to look at it from the perspective of a love letter. Now, Nikki, I'm not exactly sure when you came in. Did you hear my initial illustration? I've got a whole box of love letters from the lady who is now my wife when we were going out here. And we can view God's Word to us as a love letter. What do you do with a love letter? Well, we talked about it a little bit before. You cherish the words. You meditate on them. You let them flow around in your mind. Look at me, I'm blushing. You memorize them. You read them again. That can be the same with God's word for us. We know that in the scripture we encounter Jesus. That means that when we can treat God's word as a love letter, we can cherish it, we can meditate on it, we can go back to it again and again. Jesus says that this is one of the most important reasons that God gave us his written word. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25 to 27, which is the founding narrative of our church, with two disciples walking with the risen Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They don't know it's him. We find these words. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, what we know as the Old Testament, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus says the primary purpose of God's written word in the Old Testament is to point to him, the person, the living and incarnate word behind the written word of the scriptures. So that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we find something very similar. John chapter 20, at the very, well, almost the end of the gospel, it says this, John 20 verse 30 to 31. "The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." In other words, the whole purpose of the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, is that we might believe in Jesus. And that belief is a trusting relationship. It's not just a historical kind of fact that we believe. It's a person that we have a relationship with. The whole purpose of my girlfriend's love letters to me was to keep up the relationship between us, and mine to her. She's probably better at writing than I was to her. So the primary purpose of God's written word, before it is anything else, it's a love letter from God that is designed to help us keep up the relationship with Jesus, the living and incarnate word. I had a friend called Brett. He was a member of my cricket club when I was in Queensland. I played with Brett for 3 years or so, and at the end of that time, he talked to me about spiritual stuff, and he actually became a Christian. Brett and I had a practice where we would sit, and we didn't do this at the same time, we did it during the week, and we challenged each other to read through Mark's gospel twice. Now, this was a man who had never picked up the Bible before. And in the first week that we did this, he came back and said, how have you gone with reading and what are you discovering? And he said, "Wow, I read through the Gospel of Mark one time during the week and it was awesome. And it was like, I couldn't wait to get my time alone with God and to read God's word because I'm encountering Jesus and it's amazing. He's such a cool guy. And there's so much that I need to learn." And that is a way that we can approach scripture. Jesus is truly more than a cool guy. He's God with us. And we get to encounter him in the pages of the written word. Okay, maybe you were thinking that Pastor Nathan would say, "The Bible should not be used as an instruction manual." Well, that's not quite true. Part of its purpose also is to give us wisdom for living. Not just living in this world, but wisdom for living God's way. In fact, the Bible is used, the written word is used in learning from Jesus to live for the kingdom of heaven. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus has been preaching for 3 whole chapters, if you've got a red letter Bible, it's pages and pages of red letters. Jesus says these words in Matthew 7, 24 to 29. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Jesus says that what he says, if we put it into practice, actually becomes a solid foundation for living. And when you think about it, that makes sense. Remember all those other passages about Jesus, the incarnate Word, through whom the whole universe was created. He knows how things work. He knows how they work best from within. He knows the best way for the human being to live and to operate, if you want to put it that way. The manufacturer is the one who writes the manual. And the manufacturer wants that car to run properly, I believe. And all of us want our cars, I think, to run properly. And the way that we find out about that is listening to the manufacturer's instructions. Jesus is the one who knows how things work best. He knows what builds a solid foundation for living. Now, we've had a new junior school building going up for a while, and they did a lot of work before they put anything up above ground level. They were building the foundation. And that's what Jesus is talking about here too. Building a foundation for your life is hard work, but it's really important. Sometimes Jesus says things that look upside down to us, like the last shall be first, or the children are the ones who are closest to the kingdom of heaven, or if you give, it will be given to you. But remember, he knows how it works, and he wants what is good for you. It's not a set of arbitrary rules. It's not some kind of instruction manual that's been dropped from heaven onto our heads that we have to obey. This is the way the universe is, and it's the way that things work the best. Alrighty, now I'm going to get you guys involved. Roadblocks and barriers to reading God's word. You know what? Almost every Christian I know says, "I really don't think that I read the written word of God enough. I would like to do it more. It's hard and it's sometimes confusing. And I'd like to do it more. I'd like to be able to treat it as a love letter." What are, and I've put a few suggestions up, not a rhetorical question, what are some of the distractions, roadblocks, and barriers that you find to engaging with God's written word? What is it that stops you or makes it hard or difficult? Call them out. Time, big one, yep. Some bits are a bit boring. Some people go, "I'm going to read through the Bible," and they get stuck in about Leviticus and go, "Oh my goodness, it's so boring. I can't believe all these laws about mold and stuff." Oh, yep, definitely.
Some bits are a bit too violent.
Ooh, absolutely. You hit it and you go, "Oh my goodness, what is happening here? Why is that in the Bible?" Yep. Self?
Guilt. You haven't picked it up in a while. You think, "Oh, it's been so long, I won't."
Yep, guilt, yep. You know what? I find it really easy to sit down and watch my favorite Netflix show for about 40 minutes. It's currently House MD. Yes, I'm working through the seasons with my wife. But I find it really hard, and I am serious here, really hard to sit down and read the Bible for 10 or 15 minutes a day. Anyone else experience that? Absolutely. And do you know why? It's because this is powerful stuff. And there's someone who doesn't want you accessing the instruction manual and the love letter and getting to know the incarnate word better through that. And that someone is the enemy of human beings, Satan. I guarantee when you try and put in place a habit, a discipline of reading the Bible, you will run into a wall of distractions that will be so high and so wide that you can't see the end of it. I guarantee it. However, That doesn't mean we need to let the cunning old fella win, because the Holy Spirit is at work in us as God's people to help us to read the Bible. This is spiritual warfare. When you attempt to sit down to read the Bible and attempt to put in place the discipline of engaging with God's word, you will run into spiritual warfare. But don't let that put you off. All right, I've got a handout sheet. Woo-hoo! And some pens. This is about taking a couple of minutes for you to think about in your own life, what are the biggest roadblocks, barriers and distractions for you in terms of reading the written word? In what ways do you best engage with God's word? And in what practical way could you reduce or remove the biggest roadblock to you reading God's word? Okay, so let's hand that out and some pens. Sally, can you help me with that, please? And I'll give you a couple of minutes to think and to write a little bit. We'll share a little bit about some of our practical ideas and helps in a couple of minutes, okay? Okay, we're going to do some engagement. You can keep writing there, but I invite people to call out some things that you've written in each of those sections. So first of all, what are the biggest roadblocks, barriers, distractions? Sylv. Okay. Fee. Bad reading skills. Okay. Yep. For me, it's distraction.
Tiredness.
Yeah. Ah, very good. Okay. Yep. Okay. So, finding a good time. Sally?
Priorities.
Yep. Jess?
Sometimes I actually find myself in a rut of feeling unworthy, and then I don't want to read it, and I don't want to engage with God because I'm feeling
Okay. All right. That's not excellent, but it's a great point. Thanks, Jess. Yep.
That you have to do it. It's another thing.
Yep.
That just has to happen in your life.
Yeah, that's right. Like this. Oh no, another love letter just arrived from my girlfriend. Now I have to read it. That sucks so much. Yep. Okay, let's move on. In what practical ways do you best engage with God's word? So there might be quite a variety here. Yep, Sylv?
For me, it's while we're using the Easter.
All right, so in community with other people around you. Excellent. That's a great suggestion. Yeah. Bible study group, again, having other people that you can talk over things with. Yep, fantastic. Other ideas?
I love Father Rich to be a short
set. Okay, so podcasts and actually MP3. You can get really good audio Bibles. There's a whole lot of different translations online at BibleGateway.com that you can listen to. I particularly like the UK version. It's read by David Suchet, who plays Poirot, and he's got a great voice, but it's really good just to listen to it sometimes too. Yep, other ideas?
Sometimes songs, like the actual text.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Put it to music. Yeah, definitely.
Devotionals.
Okay, so something that kind of unfolds and explains it for you.
And it's short and sweet.
So I really love two Sons of Korah that do the Psalms to music. Fantastic. Okay, let's think practically here. What practical way could you reduce or remove the biggest roadblock to you reading God's word? Anyone got an answer or answers for that one yet?
Every day.
Yep, absolutely. We've mentioned a few times getting together with others, so that can help to it unfold and explain. Yep. For me, meditation on a Bible verse, a really short verse, is a really important way to do it. So since the start of this year, I've actually spent 10 minutes just meditating on a really short verse. So I put it over and over in my mind, and God brings really interesting things out of it. Now, for some people that won't work, but for some of you that will be a really good thing. Excellent. That's great, Erin. And in fact, if you look just at the bottom of my page, I've got a prayer there. This is a prayer that God loves to answer, and it's the prayer for the Holy Spirit to give you a hunger for God's word. And that's how I kind of want you to finish off. I invite you to put down here, after this prayer, something that you would like to commit to trying to do in the next couple of weeks, remembering, oh no, it's my love letter, I've got to read it. Yeah, that's so bad. Remembering that as we encounter the scripture, we encounter the living Jesus, and that it's not about should or guilt if you don't do it. So please, if you want to, put down just one really simple way that you'd like to engage with God's word in the coming 2 weeks. And maybe when we get back together in a fortnight's time, check in with someone about that. I'll build that time into the service, okay, for those of you who are here. And I invite you to use that prayer at the end of your sheet and take this home with you. In Luke chapter 24, again with those two disciples walking with Jesus, not recognizing him, he opens the scriptures to them. And at the end of the conversation, when Jesus reveals who he is, they say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Please, Holy Spirit, would you make our hearts burn within us? Help us to overcome those barriers to reading the Word of God and encountering the living Jesus. The Word of God, primarily God's Word, is a living person. The Word of God, Jesus, the incarnate one. Secondarily, God's Word is written for us as instruction manual and love letter, as the way that things work best with the human condition, and as God's invitation to us to get to know the living Jesus better and to build our relationship with him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I think that all of us in this room could use your help in engaging more fully with the written word of God in order that we can grow our relationship with the incarnate word, Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us, each of us, a hunger to hear and read and learn the word of God, and that you would help us to take away the barriers to doing that. Please take away our guilt and invite us deeper into that relationship of love with our living Saviour through your living and written word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.